We turned this morning to our gospel lesson from Luke, from the 12th chapter, beginning with the 49th, continuing through the 56th verses. This is Jesus talking. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus has been hanging out in the region of Galilee. And by this time in today's passage, he is traveling toward Jerusalem. Crowds continue to gather and to grow wherever Jesus goes because, well, Jesus is sort of a cool guy in that day and in that time. He's performing healings. Demons are being cast out. He's trending on social media. You can imagine him out there with the people, rocking a pair of Hey Dudes with a cup of locally roasted coffee in hand. A parable here, an exhortation there. In fact, in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel, he's rather reassuring and it gets almost downright cozy. He tells his followers not to worry, to consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, reminding them that they're valuable and precious in God's sight. And just last week, we heard these words, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is my kind of Jesus. With his gentle ways and his kind words, but all we have to do is fast forward a few verses until today's gospel text, and it feels like Jesus has had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Where did this angry guy come from? Maybe he needs to switch to decaf. I don't know what's going. We really don't like to talk about this Jesus that we encounter this morning. What happened to the lilies of the field? What happened to our being precious in God's sight? This Jesus feels angry and wrathful and intimidating. The wrath of God is a hard sell. Not many kids are memorizing these verses in vacation Bible school. We don't embroider them on pillows or hang them in the entryways to our homes. But it's a mistake. It's a mistake to skip over this passage or to assume that these words from Jesus have no place in our modern 21st century theology. So let's turn to something a little, maybe less grown up. In the children's novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and if you've read it, you know it's not just for children, written by C.S. Lewis, four British siblings enter a coat closet, a wardrobe, and discover a whole different world called Narnia. This magical world is filled with talking animals and the original Lion King, a lion named Aslan, who rules over all of Narnia. The youngest child, Lucy, strikes up a conversation with Mr. Beaver, and she's curious about Aslan and asks, "Is he quite safe?" To which Mr. Beaver replies, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good." God isn't always safe in the way we think of it, but God is good. There are those in the kingdom who like to put a lot of focus, a lot of emphasis, to dwell on the fiery rage of God, these seemingly unsafe parts that scare us and try to coerce us into obedience. But that kind of thinking leaves little room for the goodness of God. Goodness. I wear it every day. That's my star word this year. Goodness. The goodness of God. There's a difference. There's a difference between wrath that is rooted in hatred and wrath that is grounded in professed love. Anger that draws its energy from hatred leads to and is intent on destruction and death. But anger that is motivated by love is dedicated to growth and building up, edification. It's part of becoming that person, that community that God desires for us to be. If someone says something that edifies you, build you up, it can be instructive and enlivening, but sometimes we all know that edifying truth can have a little bit of a sting to it, like hydrogen peroxide in a wound. Burning and healing. This edifying anger of God might not feel especially easy or loving, but because it's grounded in love, it's offered in hope for building up, for flourishing. It seeks only to enliven and encourage. And indeed is a sign of transformation. The prophet Malachi, way back in the Old Testament, good old Malachi, refers to a God who sits by the fire, the refiner of silver or gold. Now, we don't have a lot of refiners around here these days. But back in that time, a refiner would set up shop on a street corner. And the process of doing so would be to melt the metal, to remove all the impurities from it. And then it could be molded and shaped, free from the things that would mar it or detract from its beauty. It's a fine art, and it requires a delicate hand and detailed attention. The refiner is attentive and deliberate in their work, carefully watching over that silver in the fire until it is purified. This is a fire that burns, but doesn't destroy. There's a story about a woman who visits a silversmith, and she asks him how he knows when the silver has been refined. And the silversmith responds, "When I can see my face in the silver." When I can see my face in the silver. God is the refiner, carefully watching over us, taking great care, great attention to detail until we reflect God's own image back. The fire of God is aimed at injustice and oppression, at the sin of the world and the sin of our lives at a systemic level and at an individual level. This fire edifies so that we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a fire that burns but doesn't destroy. This past spring, wildfire spread through Carolina Forest. Do you remember that? You remember how everything smelled like smoke for weeks on end? It's a somewhat rare occurrence for our area. And it took over 2 months to completely contain that fire. And during that time, I was reminded of something that I read probably in a botany class many, many years ago. A forest that's affected by fire often experiences what is called plant adaptation. I like that, plant adaptation. Trees who have been through a fire, forests that have been through a fire, actually will come back stronger than they were before the fire and more resistant to danger in the future. And there's also new growth after a fire. All those pine cones that were lying around on the ground or dried out and hanging in the trees will pop open because of the heat, and all the seeds will spread and begin to take root and grow a new forest out of what had been destroyed. Fire can be important for life. When Jesus said, "I've come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled," we're given an opportunity to trust God's goodness, even in the midst of the blaze. We're given an opportunity to be edified, to be built up, to be transformed as we stand in the fire that burns but does not destroy. So the next time you feel the heat around you, life burning, and the smoke might be so thick that you can't even see your next steps. The times when you find yourself standing in the middle, the flames of crisis, remember the strange fire of God. That God is with you even in the fire, and that you're being molded and shaped into something new. Like the ashes that are left after the forest fire produce rich soil, the ashes that are part of God's strange fire of refining are often the starting point of new life. It's always been that way. God using dust and ashes to create since the Garden of Eden, kneeling in the soil, breathing new life into the ashes that have been left behind, patiently coaxing new life out of places that appear charred and ruined, where we see only destruction. God sees promise and hope in this burned and ashy ground. New life is going to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.